the final of the excuse me. The final of the first part of Shemoneh Esrei is that of Ata Kadosh, of praising God's holiness. And the way the bracha reads is Ata Kadosh Rishimcha Kadosh. You are holy and your name is holy. Ukdoshim, and those who are holy, b'chol yom yahalucha selah, every day praise you forever. Barchat Hashem Hakel Kadosh. Bless you, Hashem, the God who is holy. So what we had spoken about at length last time was just the concept of Kedusha, of what does it mean to be holy. And in short, the presentation we gave is from Rav Shimon Shkup, where Rav Shimon Shkup writes in his introduction to the Shari Yosher, Rav Shimon Shkup passed away in 1929. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Grudna Yeshiva in Europe, and was probably the longest standing Rosh Yeshiva of any, with the longest tenure of any other Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. He was Rosh Yeshiva for 50 years and gave the longest standing class than any other Gadol of the generation. He was one of the close students of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in Voloshin. And he bases it off of a medrash that the medrash commenting on the pasuk of Kedoshim to you, where Hashem says to be holy. It says in the Torah, Daber al Adat ben Yisrael, Daber al Kol Adat ben Yisrael, Amar Telehem. They have to tell the entire Jewish people, Kedoshim to you, to be holy. And the Torah ends off, He Kadosh. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You have to be holy because I am holy, Hashem your God. So the Medrash asks, Yachol Kamoni, is it really possible that we can be holy like God? Like, how is that something that can be expected? And the Medrash answers and says, you're right. It's impossible to be as holy as God. Tam Lomar, ki kadosh ani, that ultimately God is holier than us, but we still have an obligation to strive towards God's holiness. Well, that means there's an obligation. That means that what the Torah is telling us, the obligation is to be godly. Well, what's the best way to emulate God is to act like him. The Gemara says the way you emulate God is that just as he is merciful and kind, so do we need to be merciful and kind. And basically what sets God differently than us, and the reason we'll never truly be able to become totally, completely like God, is because the way that God gives is completely selfless. Completely selfless. God gets nothing and receives nothing and gets no personal benefit, quote unquote, from any act of kindness that he does. As opposed to we, even the most altruistic person, get some form of benefit, right? They are happier because of the fact that they got to help somebody, right? I mean, I'll buy that should be all of our motivations, that we're helping just because of the fact that it gives us joy and pleasure and we want it. But still, that is on some level, if we get some personal, it's impossible for it to be completely selfless. What God does is completely selfless. But nevertheless, what the commandment then is to be godly means to be as selfless as possible, to be giving to the point that I am getting closer and closer to being selfless. Even though it's impossible to get to that point, there's an obligation to strive towards that point. So that is this obligation of Kedoshim to you, of being holy. And that is ultimately what we're praising God with, which makes sense why we're specifically using that praise right before we're about to transition into the requests. Because we're saying to Hashem that you are completely selfless. You just want to give. And now I'm going to ask for whatever it is that I'm going to ask for. It's interesting to note from Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz. Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz was the mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva. He passed away in 1936. His yortzeit is today on Yud Ches Sivan. And he has an amazing quote about Kedusha, where he writes the following. He says that we are commanded to be holy because Hashem is holy, right? That's what we just read in the Torah. Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani, right? Because I'm holy. That's what it says. So what does that mean, says Rabbi Rucham? If Rothschild gave thousands of dollars to tzedakah, so then that means I have to. What's obviously the difference there? That he's wealthy and I'm not. So then how could there be this commandment to be holy because I'm holy, says God? Well, there's a major difference between us and God. God is, by definition, holy, and I am, by definition, this finite, just, you know, mortal being. So continues Rabbi Rucham, and he says that, why must I be holy because Hashem is holy? The answer is that the one who asked this of us is also the one who made us, who knows our abilities, our weaknesses, our strengths, and our challenges. And therefore, if he says, be holy because I'm holy, it means he created us with the ability to be like him, to reflect Kedusha, right? Which is amazing to consider it that way, which is that it's not only that Hashem is asking us something that is ultimately impossible, but nevertheless, Hashem's still asking us to do it, meaning that he created us with our strengths and our capabilities and our weaknesses and everything else, and nevertheless is still saying you can become holy because you can reflect Kedusha, you can reflect what it means to be godly. That means we can actually do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have commanded it. So that is that's an amazing idea from Rabbi Rucham. I want to focus, though, that was what we basically spent last time discussing, which is this concept of Ata Kadosh Bishimcha Kadosh, you are holy and your name is holy, meaning God is holy, and this is the description we gave to the holiness of God. The reason why I think it's important for us to first understand this, and the reason we tee it up with making this declaration that God is holy, is this declaration should come with an understanding of what we mean, right? When we say that you are holy and your name is holy, we have to, on some level, like we do now, understand what that means and the implications of what holiness is and a definition of what holiness is. And that makes sense because the next thing we say is, well, who are the ones that can give you this praise? The ones that actually understand this. Ukdoshim, that those that are holy, meaning that those that understand this concept and apply it to themselves to try and reflect God's holiness, those are the ones, b'chol yom yahalu chasel. Those are the ones that are able to forever praise you. That and then Baruch Ata Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. So the commentators try and explain, why is it that we specifically have to say that it's only the holy ones that are able to give God their praise? So the first answer from Rav Chaim Freelander from the Sifsei Chaim is exactly this. That it's only those that are holy, it's only those that understand this concept that we're describing now, those that understand that our job is not just to simply pray to this, you know, immortal, you know, impossible, totally out of reach God to comprehend and understand, and that's who we're praising and reaching out to. It's that we actually have a way of reflecting God in our lives, and therefore we are saying to Hashem, you've given us a model of holiness, and we praise you for that. And it's therefore specifically the Kedoshim, those that know how to reflect God's holiness, that are able to, Yahalucha Selah, are able to praise him every day forever. That's what he writes. He says, Tzarech Lahavin, Madua Dafka Kedoshim. Yes, why we have to understand why specifically the Kedoshim, the holy ones, Yecholim Ureuyim Lahalel Es Hashem Yisbarach, are the ones that are fit to praise God. HaTeshuvah Hi, the answer is, Ki kidei lahavin mashu maharuchnius hatahora shel Hashem Yisbarach, because in order to understand the spirituality, the spirit, the intangibility of the purity of God, tzarech li'yos kadosh u'muvdal mehagashmius. I need to be somebody that doesn't care about these lowly material, just physical things. I need to be somebody that is living above the baseless, meaningless things in this world, and I'm trying to reflect holiness. The more that a person is holy, the more that a person reflects God, then they have more of an understanding of God and a closeness of God, and more of an ability to properly praise this Kedusha. And therefore, they've completely evolved into someone who is away from the material, baseless nonsense of life to that which is truly significant and important, which is being this more selfless being, reflecting the holiness of Hashem. That is the first approach to understand the end of this bracha, where the end of the bracha again says that you are holy, your name is holy. And it's specifically those that are holy, the individuals that are holy, that are able to praise you. Number one is because we have to have an understanding of his holiness and practically apply it to ourselves in order so that we can praise him.
The second reflection, the main way we reflect holiness is through selflessness, is that what Rabbi Shimon Shkab suggests?
Yeah. Yeah. That is the first approach to understand this concept of why it's specifically the holy ones that praise God. The second is that this is not specific to a select group of people, meaning that the way that the Abu Dhrum and others explain this is that this is actually in reference to Klal Yisrael. It's the Jewish people that praise you every single day. We say here that the Kedoshim, the holy ones, that means the Jewish people. The better translation suggests the Abu Dhrum would be something like, Ata Kadosh Vashimcha Kadosh, you are holy and your name is holy. Or you are sanctified and your name is sanctified. Ukdoshim, and it is the sanctified, the selected ones with a, you know, capital O and a capital S, the selected ones. Who are the selected ones? The chosen people. The Chol Yom Yahalu Chasela, the ones that praise you every single day. Now, where do we find that we as a people have been selected or sanctified or made holy in our relationship with God? So that comes through the realm of mitzvos. We say every single time that we, before performance of a mitzvah, there's a bracha that we make before the performance of that mitzvah. Before a person sits in the sukkah or eats matzah on Pesach or shakes lulav, blows shofar, there's a bracha that's made, putting up a mezuzah on your house. The bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, God, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Master of the Universe, Asher, that has Kidshanu, made us holy, B'mitzvosav, with his mitzvos, B'tzivanu, and specifically commanded us to lekaboa mezuzah, put up a mezuzah on our house, whatever the mitzvah is, insert the rest of the formulation specific to the mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Yonah points out that means that Chazal are telling us that what makes the Jewish people sanctified or made holy or unique among the other nations, like what is the representative of that, is the fact that we have an obligation to perform mitzvos. Our obligation of mitzvos is what makes us kadosh, in a sense. So that's what we mean when we say, Ata kadosh shimcha kadosh, you're holy, your name is holy, ukdoshim, and those that are obligated in mitzvos, meaning the Jewish people, b'chol yom yihalu chasela, praise you forever, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hakel Hakel HaKadosh. This is similar to like the type of Kedusha that we, or the formulation of Kedusha we use with regards to sanctifying, let's say, vessels in the Mishkan, where, you know, what's the difference between the sink basin, the kior that was in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash versus a sink that's in our house? The difference between the two is that one of them was made holy because it was separated and sanctified for this purpose, right? And the same with all of the different vessels and utensils in the Beis HaMikdash. They were sanctified for that purpose. And so therefore, they have now been elevated to that level. We were sanctified in a sense by the fact that God gave us the Torah. The Torah tells us this explicitly. The Torah says in Parshas Emor, says Lo Tzachalu Hashem Kodshi, that we are not allowed to defile the name of God. Lo Tzachalu Hashem Kodshi. You're not, one of the prohibitions of the Torah, that you're not allowed to desecrate the name of God. V'nikdashti b'tof b'nei Yisrael, and God has made himself holy among the Jewish people. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, mikadshchem, who has made you holy. Meaning, we as a people, by definition, are holy. Because of the fact that we were given mitzvos, and the Torah says it explicitly, we are holy, right? Ani Hashem mikadshchem. I am God who has made you holy, right? Like what Rabbi Yochanan was saying before. How do we know that we're holy? How do we know that God can tell us that we need to build upon the pre-existing holiness that we have? He says, "Ki ani ki kadosh ani," because I'm holy. Well, what? Because you're holy, that makes us holy. Well, he's saying, "I made you holy." And we have to remember that. We have to recognize that. And, you know, it's something that I think particularly in education with regards to like kids and, you know, when they're in their formative years, they need to know this. They need to understand this, that they are unique. Now, the Ramban writes that that comes with heavy responsibility as well, right? It's not just, you know, that I'm special. I have, of course, responsibility associated with that. I need to represent God appropriately. That's what it means to be the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation, means that I'm the representative of God and I need to act accordingly. But people don't realize that me having the ability to do mitzvos is not just simply, you know, that it's a beautiful thing to do, but it's that this is what makes me holy. This is what I'm expressing the internal holiness that's within me when I perform mitzvahs. That's why I had a Rebbe. He was my day school principal that would always call us tzaddik. He'd always call us tzaddik, or you know, it was the girls tzaddikas, or he would always refer to us in that way. It didn't matter what we did. You had to go to the principal's office because you did something terrible. He'd call you a tzaddik. We're always called tzaddik. It's something I've tried to adopt as well. All the kids always call them, hey, tzaddik, tzaddikus, you know. And because it reminds you constantly of that I am holy, right? That asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa. Hashem made us holy through the mitzvahs he commanded us. And we remind ourselves of that every single time that we perform a mitzvah. The Torah also tells us, by the way, that there is another time that we remind ourselves of this, or at least should, or at least is the purpose of this day, is Shabbos. The purpose of Shabbos, the Torah gives three reasons for Shabbos. One is to remember God as the creator, right? That God, when he finished creating the world, he stopped on the seventh day. Vayishbos b'yom ha'shvi'i vayikadesh oto. And he made it holy. Ki vo shavas mikol malachto asher bara elokim lasos. Because on that day, God stopped creation. So number one is that we're commanded to keep Shabbos, to remind ourselves over the fact that God is the creator of the world. Number two is Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? We say that every time that we make Kiddush. The Torah says that we are commanded to keep Shabbos as a commemoration for our relationship with God over the fact that he took the Jewish people out of Egypt, that this is the foundation of our emunah, of our belief system in God. And therefore, as a fundamental part of that belief system, he gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos. Because Shabbos brings us back to the fact that Hashem runs the world. I take a day off from work once a week, right? Remind myself, everything comes from God, right? This is the second reason for Shabbos. There's a third reason given in the Torah for why we observe Shabbos is not for me to understand God, but for me to understand myself. The Torah says that the purpose of Shabbos, you need to keep Shabbos, leman ladas, is to recognize, to know, ki ani Hashem mikachkan, because I am God who has made you holy. Shabbos is the day of reflecting on this concept and reminding myself that I am unique. I am special. I am holy. I have a chelek elokam imal. I have a piece of God within me that is unique and special. That's reflected by the fact that I have mitzvos to do. It can be built upon by the more selfless that I am, but it is bottom line, it's there. And Shabbos is the day that reminds me of that uniqueness. And that's what hopefully I'm supposed to reflect upon over Shabbos. That over Shabbos, when there's no malacha, I'm not doing any, I'm just, my whole focus is my relationship with God. I hopefully come to the conclusion by the end of Shabbos that I'm holy, which is, by the way, that helps us understand the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim. The Gemara towards the end of Masechet Pesachim says that there are certain types of people that are nochlei olam haba, that people that inherit the world to come. There's a difference between just people that live in the world to come versus nochlei olam haba. It's almost like you have stocks in olam haba versus you're just a renter, okay? Somebody that is a stakeholder in olam haba. Who are these individuals? On that list is people that keep the holiness of Shabbos into the rest of the week through Havdalah. That's why the concept developed, the tradition developed of having some of the wine spill over from the Havdalah cup, is that the holiness of Shabbos spills off into the rest of the week. Because hopefully the rest of the week, I take with me these concepts. Belief in Hashem as the creator, belief in Hashem that he takes care of everything, like by Yetzias Mitzrayim. And number three is my capabilities and my potential as being kadosh, as being holy, I can take with me into the rest of the week. If a person really accomplishes that, they become a nochlei olam haba. They reach an incredibly high level. So that is so that's what we mean when we say ukdoshim b'chol yom yalu chasela. The first explanation we gave was that it's dafka those that are like the tzaddikim, the people that recognize their kedusha and capitalize on it and become more selfless and, you know, reach higher levels of kedusha. But then this more inclusive explanation is, this is referring to the entirety of the Jewish people, because of the fact that we were sanctified with mitzvos, and it's referring to us that we praise God every single day. I wanted to just conclude by explaining this word selah, because it's a word that's not so easily understood. The word selah, it's rather mystical in nature, exactly what it means, because as is pointed out by the Radak, it's also the Meiri points this out, is that the word selah doesn't mean constant, right? Ukdoshim b'chol yom yahalelu chasela, that the holy ones praise you b'chol yom, every day, selah. So it doesn't just mean constant, as in, day out. But selah is more than that. Selah, explained by the Gemara in Masechta Erevin, the Gemara actually explains what this word Sela means. And it says the following. It says, Tana Debei Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov, that Debei Rebbe Lazar, Debei Rebbe Yaakov said, Kol Makom, that every place that you find Shneamar Sela, you find the word Sela, Ein Lo Hefsek Olamis. It means that it's continuous above time, that there has never been a moment in creation, before creation, every creation, every day, on every platform of time, that has not given praise to God. That's what this word Sela means. That's the way the Gemara Erevin explains it. Now, what does that mean and how does that relate to me? So on one hand, it's rather mystical in nature, and I don't have a great way of being able to explain what exactly that means. At least one way to approach it is Sela tells me that there are ways of trying to appreciate and understand the holiness of God beyond just my relationship with him and just beyond the way that I relate to the world, but even in the way that other creations throughout history have related to God, meaning what their purpose of creation is. And there's great resources to understand that, like the Sefer, the book, the mystical work, Shir, what is it called? Forgetting the name of it right now. It's called the mystical work that explains all the song that's given by every aspect of nature.
Oh,
Parakshira, thank you. Parakshira. Then in Parakshira, it goes through how every separate aspect of creation of the world teaches us another lesson in the way that it relates to God, teaches us a lesson in how we can relate to God. Like it speaks about when it comes to like the ocean, it speaks about the gevura, the might of the waves of the ocean. Right? That's what's spoken about in Parakshira. So that is part of what we mean by Sela, is that Parakshira is a mystical work, the work of Kabbalah that using Psukim and Tehillim shows a relationship between different aspects of creation and the way that they relate to God, or can show us how to give praise to God through those different aspects of creation. For example, it says in Parakshira, you know, what does Lila teach me? What does night teach me about my relationship with God? So it says, Lila Omer. Lila says Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha v'emunas chabalelo. So it quotes the pasuk in chapter 92 of Tehillim, that we give praise to God during the day and strengthen our amuna at night, right? Something that we can relate to in the creation of God, in God's creation of night, is the fact that during night, it's harder to see things, and therefore we build on our amuna during the nighttime. So that's part of what this word Sela means. It's that it's not only just forever, always God is created, but forever in every aspect of creation that ever was and ever will be, in the past, present, and future, above time has always found praise of God. Practically speaking, what can we take out of the word Sela when we get to it in our Shemoneh Esrei is, I think, to take half a second to think about the fact that it's not only Ukdoshim b'chol yom yalulucha, it's not only the holy ones that are praising God always, but it's also Sela, but it's also this praise of God has always been and always will be from all aspects of creation, and that I can find a way of relating to God in every single aspect of my life and every aspect of the world that I encounter. Like, that is something to even just think about for a moment, is how to uncover God in every single aspect of creation. And then we conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh, blessed you Hashem, the Holy God. There are four places in the Shemona Esrei, by the way, where this will end, four places in the Shemona Esrei that the term Melech is used to relate to God and refer to God. The four places are the end of the first bracha, Melech Ozer Umoshem Magen. It's the king that is helpful, he saves us and protects us. Number two is the towards the end of the second blessing, we say Melech Meimit Umechayeh. He's the king that causes death and restores life. Number three is that during the high holidays, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance, we replace the word Hakel HaKadosh in this bracha of God's holiness with HaMelech HaKadosh, the king that is holy. And the fourth place is in the blessing on page 106 about the restoration of justice, that we replace, that we use this word Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat, that God is the king that loves justice. The Abu Dram and others comment over here to point out that I think the Torah also writes this, that we find these four times that God is referred to as Melech to be referenced to the four quote-unquote kings that we've had as models of the Jewish people. The four kings we've had as models for the Jewish people are translated figuratively, are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David HaMelech. And that's what these four Melechs are referring to. The first three blessings of the Shemona Esrei relate to the three ways that these three, the three Avos related to God. And then the fourth one is the way that David HaMelech related to God, where the first one relates to Avram Avinu, of recognizing Hashem as Hashem's chesed. Number two is Hashem's gevura, his might, as represented by Yitzchak. And number three is Hashem as being kadosh, as being holy, meaning that the holiness of God, which was understood great in its greatest fashion by Yaakov as being an Ish Emes, as being the representative of truth. He had the greatest understanding of God of all of the Avos. And then number four, David HaMelech was the is the start of the lineage of kingship, which is why the restoration of rule of law again is represented by David HaMelech, which is why we use specifically the language of Melech in that line of Shemona Esrei as well. So the reason I bring up this Abu Dram, of course, there's a lot to unpack there, is just because it highlights how really every single word of the Shemona Esrei has significance, and there's what to unpack in every single word of the Shemona Esrei, right? The fact that it's the only four times that this word Melech is used in describing God is because this is representative of another angle of us to be able to connect with Hashem in the Shemona Esrei. What we're going to do, God willing, next time is I want to, instead of moving on to Atachonin, which is going to be the beginning of the request part of the Shemona Esrei, I want to just take a step back to at least take one, maybe two classes to understand the Kedusha. Yeah, that needs to be understood greater as to what's going on in that that tefillah, and understand also some of the halachos related to Kedusha, So that is what we'll pick up with next time, God willing. Okay, good. Go ahead, Ron.
Can you also just practically, like, if you're